So on the top of Yudches Amud Beis, we spoke about the case of Hahorig Kohen Gadol or Kohen Gadol Shaharak. And basically what we're establishing here is that if there's no Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha, so then the Gola, if he killed the Shoge, he's going to stay in the Yermiklat Leolam. Because the only Kohen Gadol whose death will free the Rotzeach from the Yermiklat would be the Kohen Gadol, who is the Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha. Now here, the Kohen Gadol himself is the Rotzeach, so there's no way he can get out until such time as he dies. So during the course of his lifetime, he won't go free. So the Gemara says, on the third line down, on Yudches Amud Beis, Emelo Ligle. The Gemara says, there's a Havamina here, in this particular scenario, that the Kohen Gadol killed a Nefesh, that he, the Kohen Gadol, should not go into Golos, because if he goes into Golos, then Eniyotze Misham Liolam, he'll never go out of Golos. So the Rishonim ask a question, how could it possibly be that the Gemara raises a possibility that a Kohen Gadol who kills will not go into Golus? The Mishnah itself says, which means that he is in Golus for the rest of his life. So you see that he has to go into Golus. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense that the Mishnah would say, that he never goes out of the Eir Miklat. So the Tosa Rush says that from this mission alone, we cannot derive any conclusions about the case of someone who killed Bishogeg. Let's say the Kohen Gadol killed Bishogeg. If he kills Beir Miklat, then the Mishnah says Ein Yotze Misham Liolam, because he already was in the Miklat. But if he killed someone outside of the boundaries of the Eir Miklat, then we don't know that we're going to send him into Golos, because then our act of sending him into Golos is a permanent act, and he'll never get out of there. Now, Reuven, I think it was you who asked me yesterday, what would be if he's not, according to this Havamin, if he doesn't go into Golos, does it mean he has to protect himself from the Gol Adam for the rest of his life? So far, I don't know what the answer to your question is. Let me just see if by chance I missed something here. He says the following, that Tosis holds, that's, thank you so much, Divya Maskel Eno, that's the top Tosis. Take a look at that top Tosis. Tosis of the opinion that there was no replacement Kohen Gadol after his Ritzicha until after the Gemar Din. So right, there are three stages here. There's the Ritzicha, then there's the Gemar Din, which means that Bezin decides that the Rotzeach has to go into Golos, and then they appointed another Kohen Gadol. So Tosa says that since that Kohen Gadol was not in office at the time of the Gemar Din, therefore his death will not signify the freedom of the Rotzeach. But says Tosfos, if at the time of the Ritzicha there was no Kohen Gadol, but right after the Ritzicha they appointed a substitute, a replacement Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din, then he would be Yotze Meir Miklato with the Misa of the second Kohen Gadol, the replacement Kohen Gadol, because that Kohen Gadol should be Mavakesh Rachamim Sheyigmar Dino L'schus, whatever that means. And then he says, Medubar Shalom Minu Kohen Gadol Ad Sheyigmar Dino L'Golos. Our sugya is addressing a case where they did not get a chance to replace the Kohen Gadol until after the Gemar Din on this Rotzeach. And not only that, Tosa says there's no Kohen Gadol Sha'ovar, right? There are other people who can maintain the status of a Kohen Gadol. Let's say you had a Kohen Gadol who once served as a Kohen Gadol, so he still has the status of Kohen Gadol even though he's been replaced. Or a Kohen Mashiach Melchama, he also has the status of a Kohen Gadol and Machzir and Eserot Seaf and Mosam. If they die, any of the above, will free with their death the Rotzeach from the Yom Mikl. But none of these were appointed at the time of the Gemar Din. And therefore, he goes into the Yom Miklot and he never leaves. Then he quotes the Ritva that Afilu Mahayasham Kohen Gadol Kshenigmar Din and Yotzi Misham Liolam. That it all depends on, according to the Ritva, the moment of Ritzicha. If there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the Ritzicha, then even if they appointed a second Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din, that's not the Kohen Gadol who will send him free. Okay, so that's what we have so far. Now the Gemara asks, V'emachi nami, if there's a logical, compelling argument that there's no such thing as sending a person to Golis and he'll never be able to get out, so how do we know the maskana that that's not true? On Makro, we see the pasuk says, "Vayola nus shama kol rotzeach," and the extra word "kol" teaches me afilu kohen gadol b'mashma, meaning that even if the kohen gadol murdered someone and therefore he himself went into Golus, and it means he'll stay, he'll remain in the Yom Miklat until the day of his death. Nevertheless, he goes into Golus and he's included under the word kol, and that's what we got up to yesterday. So today we're going to start with the two dots, which is four lines down from the top of Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, and we're talking about the next part of the Braisa. The Braisa tells us that Over Al Aseh V'Al Los Aseh, which literally means that the Kohen Gadol violates an Aseh and a Los Aseh. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? It makes no sense. Lo sagi delo avar. It's not enough if he doesn't violate it. Meaning, the flip side is, he's obligated to violate an essay in a lo saseh. What is the Braisa telling me? Hachi komar. Im avar al aseh v'al lo saseh, hareyu kehejo l'chol dvarov. If he violates an essay or a lo saseh, then he will be treated like any other human being, any other member, any other rank and file citizen of Klal Yisrael. There will be no mitigating circumstance to allow him some sort of clemency because he's a Kohen Gadol. There is no such thing. Now, in the case of Los Aseh, it means that he'll get Malkus. In the case of an essay, so that comes under the halacha called Kofen Oso. Is everybody familiar with that? If a person refuses to fulfill an essay, we Bezdin can actually compel and force him to do so. You know, there's no democracy here. We our halacha is very tough, and it's kofen also. So therefore, areyu kehejel l'chol dvarav means that Bezdin will judge him either for malchus because he violated a lo saseh, or they will force him to be mekayim an essay. He has the same status as anyone else. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Why would I have thought otherwise? That the Braisa had to go out of his way to tell us that the Kohen Gadol is to be judged and treated like anyone else? Obviously, that's so. I mean, we saw that the Kohen Gadol in the Mishnah is Nidon. Do you remember that? If you go back to the Mishnah, it says, Don v'Donenoso. Donenoso means that we put him on trial. And if need be, if the evidence is there, we'll convict him like he was anyone else. Salka daitachamina. The Gemara says that if not for this price, I would have raised the following possibility. Hoil usnan. There's a Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And the Mishnah seems to imply that in order to try a Kohen Gadol, we need a Bezdin, Shel Shivim V'yecha, we need the Sanhedrin Agdolah. It says, ain't donin. I said Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, I stand corrected. What I meant is Rosh HaMasechta, not Rosh Hashanah, Rosh, the beginning of HaMasechta, on Daf Beis. So it says in the Mishnah, ain't donin, lois HaShevet, v'lois Nevi HaSheker, v'lois Kohen HaGadol, LLP Bezdin, Shel Shimon V'Echad. Now, what's common to all these three cases are the following two elements. Number one, we're talking about a capital crime. So therefore we're talking about condemning the accused if found guilty to death. And number two, we're talking about someone or a group of people who represent a major chunk of Klal Yisrael, like a Shevet or in the case of a Novi Sheker who plays such an important role and yet he falsified, he perjured himself in prophecy, or a Kohen Gadol who represents the entire community of Klal Yisrael, if any of the above has to be judged because they're accused of a capital crime, we cannot judge them and put them in trial in anything less than the High Court of Israel. And the Gemara back on Daf Tes Zayin derived this from Psukim. Now, what Pasuk will teach us in the case of a Kohen Gadol? Omar Avi Adovar Ava, this is the Gemara that we had early on Daf Tes Zayin, the source for the din of Kohen Gadol that you require Bezin Shel Shivim V'Echad is because Yisrael turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Kol Adavar Gadol Yaviu Eilecha. Now Yaviu Eilecha means to the Sanhedrin Agadola, because Moshe Rabbeinu has the same, what? Correct, he's equivalent to the Sanhedrin Agadola of 71. And what has to be brought in front of Moshe, meaning in front of the Sanhedrin? Kol Dovar HaGadol. So Rav Adi Barava says, what does it mean, Kol Dovar HaGadol? Dvarav Shel Gadol. In other words, the issues that are relevant to a Gadol. Who's this Adam Gadol? That it has to be judged in the highest court of the land. That's the Kohen Gadol. So that's called Dvarav Shel Gadol. Ema, I might think, Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol. Not only in a case where he's being accused of a capital crime and he might be condemned to death, but Kol Dvarav, in any case. For example, let's say we're dealing with Malkus, whether he should get Malkus, or let's say we're dealing with whether we should compel him and force him to fulfill an essay that he refuses to. Maybe, perhaps, that's the aim of every single case that deals with the Kohen Gadol when he's on trial from top to bottom, from the death penalty all the way down to the lowest penalty, is also included in the pasuk called Dvar HaGadol Yaviu Eilecha, because it's called Dvar Shel Gadol. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brisa says, no. And again, we don't know how the Brisa knows it, that's Gemara's next question, but we know from this Brisa, we learn from this Brisa that only in the case of what we call Dvarav Gadol. Gadol means his Misa, when he's on trial for a possible death penalty. Only then do we need a Bezdin HaGadol. But as far as other penalties are concerned, we can try him in a lower court like any other citizen. Affecting more of Yemachinami, maybe when the Pasuk says Kol Dvarav Gadol, it's referring to Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol. So any single judgment of a Kohen Gadol, no matter what it is and what it's relevant to, Misa or not Misa, has to be judged in front of the High Court of Israel, and no lesser court could suffice. So the Gemara answers, Miksiv, it doesn't say in the Pasuk, Kol Divrei Gadol Yaviu Eilecha. It says, Kol HaDavar HaGadol Ksiv. And there's a difference between Divrei in the plural and HaDavar in the singular. Hadover in the singular singles out that one exceptional case that's in a category of its own, and that's a Misa case. But Divrei Gadol would mean Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol. So Dover Gadol here in this case, because it says Hadover HaGadol, is Gadol Mamish, which means a Chiyuv Misa. And only in that case is Yavino Elecha we require Bezin Shel Shivim V'Echad. Any other Chiyuv, even including Malkus, is you could judge the Kohen Gadol the way you would judge a Hedyot in a court of three judges. So it comes out like this, that if the Kohen Gadol violates a Los Aseh or an Essay, he'll be judged in a lower court comprised of three judges, and only in a case where he is accused of guilt in a Mises Bezdin case, that's already called HaDover HaGadol Behei Yedia, and then we require a Bezdin Yavino Lecha of Shivim V'Echad. Now back on Daf Tes Zayin, just to remind you, Abaye made a statement based on Rabbi Lazar that Mamono Shel Kohen Gadol, if there's a dispute about the property of the Kohen Gadol, Nidon Bishlosha Bilvad, all you need is three judges. And the Gemara says Pshita. Why would we think that you would need more than three judges for the possessions of the Kohen Gadol? Mal, the same thing Gemara answers, Holuk Siv Kol Adovar Gadol Kol Dvar Shel Gadol Kamash Malon. You might think that the pasuk is referring to Kol Dvar Shel Gadol. So even the monetary possessions of the Kohen Gadol are subject to the decision of the High Court of Israel. So Rabbi Kivega says, I don't understand. In our sugya, the Gemara says that we got that from a brisa, right? The brisa says, Asay Velosase, that he's considered like a hedgehog for Asay Velosase. And the reason for that is because it doesn't say in the pasuk called Varshal Gadol, it says Hadover Agadol. So why does Gemara back there have a Havamina that the mammon of the Kohen Gadol is included on the Kol Hadavar HaGadol? That doesn't make any sense. We already know that Kol Hadavar HaGadol does not even include Malkus. Certainly it shouldn't include Dini Mammonus. So Kivega says that maybe Abaye was unaware of our Braisa. But he's not happy with that. But I'm just telling you that there's a difficulty here in reconciling these two sugis. Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol dun v'dunin oso, meid umeid oso. So the Chiddush of dunin oso is even in a case where he is accused of killing someone b'shogeg, and even though it means he'll remain for his whole life in the Yerev Miklat if we find him guilty, nevertheless, the Torah says, Kol Rotzeach, and Kol Rotzeach comes to include even someone who will remain in the Yerev Miklat for the balance of his life. Now we go on to the next part of the Mishnah. It says Me'ed u'me'idin oso. He testifies and they testify against him. So the Gemara is not happy with this word Me'ed. Now let's assume that the word Me'ed means that he's obligated to give testimony, which means that the Kohen Gadol is aware of some, he witnessed some event, and that's relevant to the judgment that's in Beis Din. And he, despite the fact that he's a Kohen Gadol, he's going to be interrogated. They're going to rake him over the coals. Nevertheless, he has to show up in Beis Din.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Somebody who's not a Kohen Gadol, somebody who's not even a Kohen, and he's killed somebody, he goes to Yom Miklat, he can get out?
Sure, he'll get out with the Misa of the Kohen Gadol. Right. Ad Yomus Kohen Gadol.
Right. Yeah. So, why does it seem fair, excuse the term, that a Kohen Gadol should have to stay there the Olam V'ed for reasons other than that it's not his fault?
But if there's no Kohen Gadol,
I understand the technical.
But
why is that reason?
Technically works for somebody else too. If somebody else, if there's no Kohen Gadol, time that he's does the murder or die or the
dinner, right?
he stays off forever also.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's the same.
Same there.
Right.
I see. Okay, sorry.
Basically, what we have to know about Rotzeach B'Shogeg is that Rotzeach B'Shogeg is guilty. If he's not guilty, that's called Karov Leones. So let's say, for example, he checked the axe before he started chopping the wood. In such case, he doesn't go into the Yerev Miklat. That's already Karov Leones. It's not something that he could have anticipated. There's no element of negligence. Shogeg means negligence. And basically, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg should be killed. And there's one Mandiyomer in the Mishnah in Makkos that says that the Gol Adam is mitzvah lahargo. If he finds him and he's not in the Yerev Miklat, it's a mitzvah to kill him. So fundamentally, a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, because of his negligence today, I think, again, don't quote me on this, they call it manslaughter. You know, like, let's say you kill someone in a car accident, you know, they could, you know, if they find you negligent, they can put you in jail for I don't know how many years. You know, you'll spend a good chunk of your life in jail. And from the Torah perspective, that's a very true position, that there is such a thing as Rotzeach B'Shogeg. The Torah was very compassionate and said, let him go to the Yerev Miklat and nobody can touch him in the Yerev Miklat. He's going to have to remain there until Misa, until the death of the Kohen Gadol. If there's no Kohen Gadol, so then we go back to square one, that he really is a Rotzeach, he's really deserving of death. The Torah is compassionate, but let him stay in the Yerev Miklat until the day he dies. Vasanya. Now, what we're about to embark upon is a long discussion in a long brisa, and the brisa is trying to interpret a pasuk that says Visalamta Mehem. Now, this parasha in Ki Teitzeh is addressing the issue of mitzvahs hashavas aveda. And on the one hand, the Torah says, Lo sucha lis'alim, if you see a lost object, you see someone's cow or his sheep that's roaming, you know, aimlessly through the streets, through the marketplace, and you know that you can return it, you have to return it. Lo sucha lis'alim, you want to look the other way, you're not allowed to do so. But in this pasuk, very strange, the Torah says, Visalamta mehem, which means you will ignore the aveda. So this brisa is going to come up with three different scenarios in which you will ignore the aveda. One of these three is relevant to the case of the Kohen Gadol, and that's called zaken v'eino lefi chvodo. So sometimes to be metapel with the animal, let's say that you found roaming through the streets, to get involved with it, that would be below your dignity. Again, depending upon, you know, what your status is in life. And therefore, the Torah says, Visalamta. There are two other cases in which we suspend the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, the Isur of Losucha L'Salim, and instead the Torah says, Visalamta. One is going to be a case where normally we would say, Esse Dochalosa said, if the Aveda is in a cemetery, and the Kohen is now aware of the Aveda, he sees it from a distance, he's outside the cemetery, so Esse Dochalosa, he should really go into the cemetery and retrieve the lost item. So the Torah says, no, Visalamta. The Torah suspends the normal mechanism of Esse Dochalosa. Perhaps, because Kedushas Kahuna is very severe. You know, the Torah wants to be super careful about not desecrating his Kedushas Kahuna. And in that case, the Torah says that he's not allowed to go into the cemetery even for the sake of this great mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Then we have another case, which is really fascinating. For this, we'd really have to learn the original. That's Eilu Metzias. So you may remember this from your youth. If you learned Eilu Metzias like I did, that was the first parak they taught us. Yeah, again, how much we understood, don't even ask me, because Eilu Metzias is a very profound parak, especially the first sugya of Yeshalom Yidas. So here's the deal. You found an object that's worth X on the market. So if you don't return it, then the owner will suffer a loss of X. But you yourself, in order to be metapel with that aveda, if it's a time-consuming business, you're going to take a loss of X plus Y. Now, you're a psychiatrist and you charge $500, you know, for 5 minutes of, you know, of listening to the guy lying on the couch, you know, saying, you know, the famous line that they ask the psychiatrist, you know, after all these years, don't you get depressed? Here he goes. He says, who listens? But be that as it may, you know, he's going to have to give up, you know, $500 for this little shepsula that doesn't sell for more than $100 on the market. So how do we balance this all out? And that's going to be if your wages are that much more, they exceed the value of the lost object by much, then, you know, there's something called lo yibachayevnyo, means shalcha karim shalchaver. You have to give up. You don't have to give up your $500 for the sake of his $100. Now, in the case of Kohen Gadol, you know, we're not talking about judging the value of his malacha versus the value of the lost object. We're not talking about going into a Beis HaKfaros. The object wasn't in a Beis HaKfaros. But we're talking about, it's below his dignity, you know, to carry this sheep on his back, you know, and it's the whole story of Noach and the Teva. You know, it's it's kind of a very smelly business. So therefore, based on this price, the Gemara wants to conclude that a Kohen Gadol would not have to return an Aveda if it was Eino Lefi Chvodo, if it was a kind of an Aveda which would require that type of preoccupation and involvement that would be a disgrace to his dignity because of his special status. And the Gemara then is going to extrapolate from that for the Kohen Gadol to stand up and testify in front of a Beis Din, and now the judges on the court are going to simply interrogate him and then barrage him with one question after the other in order to trip him up, that's also below the dignity of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, just like the Torah exempted a Kohen Gadol from Hashavas Aveda because it's below his dignity, and that's called Zakim Enel Fifodo, Pomim Shato Misalim, so too the Torah would exempt a Kohen Gadol from giving testimony if it's below his dignity. That's going to be the underlying premise of the Gemara's Kash. So this is a long Kash. You know, we have a long way to go until we finally get to the Gemara's Kash. Vasanya, how could this be that the Mishnah obligates the Kohen Gadol to give testimony? Let's look in the parasha of Hashavas Aveda. So a person sees the lamb of his friend that's it's roaming around, and the Torah says, "V'salamta mehem." You should look the other way. So how could that be? Because that's Dvarim Chav Beis Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Gimel two Psukim later. It says, "Lo sucha l'salam." You're not allowed to avert your eyes. You have to pick up the Aveda. So Gemara Darshan's, what is V'salamta teaching me? Pa'amim, in certain scenarios, we'll have three categories. Atomis Alim, Upamim She'i Atomis Alim. Basically, the general rule until the exceptions is that Lo Sucha L'Salam, that you're not allowed to look the other way. You can't divert your eyes. You have to return the Aveda. But there are Pa'amim, there are certain scenarios in which Atomis Alim, that you look the other way. Ha-Ketzad, what would be those cases where he's mis'alim? Kohen, the finder is a Kohen. And where's the lost object? For who? The lost object is Bebeis HaKvaros. So the Kohen is standing and he sees a sheep that got lost in the Beis HaKvaros. And he wants to go in there in order to return the Aveda. There's no way he can get it out without going in there. And we would say that the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda now is Docha, the Isur of Tumas Mes. And the Torah says, no, that you're not allowed to be mitami yourself, don't even dream of going in there, because v'salamta, pa'am v'shatam v'salam. That's case number one, Kohen, v'hu b'beis HaKvaros. Now we get to case number two. Zaken v'yein al-kvifodo. If he's a zaken, maybe he's a scholar, right, Zaken is Mishakana Chachma. And for him to go in and to take this Balchai, this animal, and drag him through the streets and so forth and so on, with all that's involved, that's already below his dignity. So the Torah says, V'salamta. Oh, a third possibility. Shahaisa Melacha Shalo Meruba Mi Shel Chavero. That the wages that he gets paid for his work exceed the value of the lost object itself. It's interesting. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, a story about Rabbi Yishmael, that there was a person who was passing by, and he couldn't tolerate the weight, or maybe it was a case that's called prika. No, it was a case of te'in, I think. Anyway, the man asked Rabbi Yishmael to help him put it on top of his shoulders. And for Rabbi Shmuel, that would be Eino Lefi Chvodo. So what does he do? He digs into his pocket. He asks him, how much is this object worth for you? Yeah, these Eitzim, whatever they were. And he pays him the Eitzim. So the Gemara asks, why did he have to do that? He's a Zokim Eino Lefi Chvodo. He's not even Chayim in the Mitzvah Shavu Saleh. So here's the famous Sugya of Asis HaYoshev HaTov, that he went beyond the letter of the law. He was an Eino Mitzvah V'Yoseh Lifnim Mishura Sadin. So we have these three cases. We have Kohen Vahu Beveis HaKfar Sokim Enim Klifodo Osha Hoya Hoysa Malachto Meruba Mishel Chaver. Interesting, the Gemara doesn't mention psychiatrists. Again, I guess they weren't so popular at the time of the Talmud. So the Gemara mentions no cave Margolios. These were people who pierced holes into pearls. Apparently, that was a very sophisticated skill. It was and like a diamond cutter maybe. And he was paid very heavily for his time. And now he doesn't have the time to do so because he's too busy with Yenim's lamb. You know, he's carrying around this lamb and he's trying to pet the lamb. He's trying to get a smile on the face of the lamb. He's feeding the lamb. He's getting rid of his you know, his ex, you know, he's having a time of his life here. So the Gemara says it's Malachto Meruba Mishel Chavero, and therefore he's potter. Now, what would be if, let's say, his wage is 50 per hour, let's say, and the Aveda will take him in 1 hour, and the Aveda is worth 100. So in that case, the Gemara establishes he'd be chayav in Hashavas Aveda, but he can bill the loser if he finds the Ma'aved and he locates him, and he could lekazeh is what we call in modern Hebrew. You know, he could subtract the value that he took as a loss because he couldn't earn his wages from the value of the object. That's a sugyim bav mitzi. So lekach nemar, after all is said and done, v'salamta, for these three categories of cases, it says v'salamta, that he's potter. So he's potter in the case of Cohen, the Beis HaKvaros, that's because the essay of Hashavas Aveda is not powerful enough to be doche the Iser of Tumas Kohen. And as far as someone who's Malachta Meruba, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Efes ki lo yibcha evyon shalcha kodim l'shalcha vercha. But included here in this list is the case of Zokim Veinu L'kvi Kvodim, which means that because of the principle of Kovod Abrios, you know, the Torah is very sensitive to the dignity of man, therefore the Torah exempts this Zokain from getting involved in Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara thinks, let's derive from this that the Kohen Gadol, he's also Eina Lefi Kvod of him to show up in Beis Din and be interrogated because he wants to testify, is his Kovod should trump, it should outweigh the obligation to give testimony. Now the obligation to give testimony is derived from a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, "Im lo yagid v'nasa vono." If he doesn't tell, you know, in American law, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you could obligate a person to testify. I'm not sure. But if so, it's only a moral obligation. Halacha, it's an absolute obligation. If you know testimony, the Torah says v'nasa vono, you'll be punished if you don't give the testimony. But in this case, because he's Eino Lefi Chvodo, and Kovod Abrius is so great, that we weigh Kovod Abrius on one side of the equation, of one side of the scale, against Hashavas Aveda and the mitzvah, as great as it is, and Kovod Abrius tips the scale against Hashavas Aveda. Now it's interesting, you know, that all of halacha could be divided into two territories, so to speak. There's what's called dini mominos and dini isur. And as a general rule, the Torah is much more careful and strict about dini isurim than it is about dini mominos. Now, when it comes to the case of Hashavas Aveda, and we're saying that Zaken Venil Chlifodo is part of Hashavas Aveda, what kind of mitzvah are we talking about? Are we talking about an isur v'heter, like a ritual law, or are we talking about a monetary law? It's only monetary, right? Because it's his possession. So the question is, can we derive from v'salamta me'en po mishatom is'alem that even in a case of isur, kovod abrios is great? Like, for example, let's say if you find a dead body and there's no one to bury the body, that's called kavod hames, or mes mitzvah. That's a great mitzvah of kavod. Could a person, in order to fulfill this great mitzvah of kavod hames, could he give up on fulfilling another mitzvah? Like, let's say, for example, the Gemara says that if he's on his way to bring the Korban Pesach, right, it's the 14th of Nisan, and that's one of the few, there are only two mitzvahs, as far as I know, Yechayv Karez. And he encounters a mes mitzvah. Now, once he buries the mes mitzvah, because of the greatness of the kavod, he contracts tumah, he cannot bring the Korban Pesach. Maybe he'll get another option in Pesach Sheni, but as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned. And the Gemara says that Godel Kavod Abrios, it's so great that it's doch even a lotas. Well, the Gemara has a case of Shatnez. He's wearing Shatnez in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. He finds out, he didn't know. And the Gemara says that we don't ask him to strip naked in Rosh Hashanah because that's how great Kavod Abrios is. See, I'm just trying to point out to you that although in Hashavas Aveda the chiddush of zakim en el chifodo is a low case chiddush. In truth, the principle goes even beyond Hashavas Aveid. Hashavas Aveid is paradigmic of Dine Mominos, but the halach of Kavod Abrius even goes as far as Dine Isa, which are always more strict. Sorry.
I was saying we miss the part of it.
Yeah, but there's a hierarchy. It could be a hierarchy too.
There are a million answers to your question. One answer is that until he starts the Shkita, he's not considered Osek B'mitzvah. He's only on the way to the Shkita. So I'm not sure that Osek B'mitzvah applies when you're on your way to do a mitzvah. That's number one. Point number two is that Kavod Abrios is greater than even an Osek B'mitzvah. What do I mean? That if I know, once I encounter this mess, that there's no one else there to bury him, and I continue on my merry way to bring the Korban Pesach, I know that I'm violating Kavod Abrios. That's such a gnai, so despicable, that even if he would be Osek B'mitzvah, he would have to drop that mitzvah for the sake of this greater mitzvah. That's how great Kavod Abrios is. So now we get back to Eidus. The Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says, is obligated to give testimony. Why? What happened to the principle of Zakim Ven El Chlifodah? And that principle doesn't only apply in Hashavas Aveda, it applies in general. So that for the Kohen Gadol to stand in front of a Bez, then you're requiring him under the law of Himmel Yagim and Asavoda to testify, that would undermine his Kavod Abrios. And Gadol Kavod Abrios, Shedoch afilu losa seshev Torah. Omer Rav Yosef made lemelech. Well, you know, sometimes you see an ukimta, and the Gemara says, "Let Zetzarai the Mishnah is talking about this in this case." You know, okay, you know what I mean? It's we're not always so smooth, but here, wow, this is wild. What does the Mishnah mean? Says Rav Yosef when it says the Kohen Gadol is made. Who's on trial? The king himself. And for the benefit of the king, the Kohen Gadol should bite the bullet, so to speak. He should overcome his inhibitions about his personal covet and his dignity as a Kohen Gadol for the sake of the king. And here there's going to be a whole discussion. Are we talking about he's testifying on behalf of the king? Is he testifying even against the king? But whatever it is, this case has such great significance because the king is on trial, that to give edus in such a case is not considered a priest's hakavod. And again, this only works in one direction. This works in the direction of the Kohen Gadol on behalf of the melech. Let's say in the reverse, for the melech to testify on behalf of the Kohen Gadol, that's already going down a madrig. You remember we said, and we emphasized this yesterday, that whose sanctity or whose status is greater in the comparison between a Kohen Gadol and a Melech, our mission clearly takes the position that which is greater? The Melech is greater. But in this case, where the Kohen Gadol is testifying on behalf of the Melech, that's considered, instead of a Pchis HaKavod, that's considered the required behavior, and the mission establishes that he has to testify in this case, and there's no Kavod Abrius here. Now later on, the Gemara is going to differentiate between two types of malachim. There are two categories of malachim in Israel. There's what's called Malchei Yisrael, and then it's called Malchei Beis David. And for some reason, which has to do with history, which we'll get to a little later, we're more careful about Malchei Yisrael, believe it or not. Even though Malchei Beis David have a greater sanctity, but nevertheless, we're more careful about Malchei Yisrael and their kavod. For historical reasons, something terrible happened when there was a some sort of controversy against Malchei Yisrael. So Belinetta will get to that. So the question is, it's very odd here that Rav Yosef makes a general statement that the Kohen Gadol should testify on behalf of the Melech. L'chora, he should have made some sort of distinction between Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Beis David. So if you look at Tosas, Divrei Maaseh V'Hasnan, you'll see, that's the, I think, the fourth Tosus on the page. Is it 1, 2, 3, 4? So you'll see that Tosus is going to say that Mistama, we have to assume that our Mishnah is talking about Malchei Yisrael. For example, the halach of Ein Donin Oso, that we don't judge him, But we can't bring a king to trial. That's only with regard to Malchei Yisrael, not with regard to Malchei Beis David. So we see that in our Mishnah, we're certainly talking about Malchei Yisrael. If we're talking about Malchei Yisrael, then Rav Yosef himself, by attaching this clause to Me'idim in the case of the Kohen Gadol, he doesn't have to mention that the Melech here is Malchei Yisrael, because the whole Mishnah is limited to Malchei Yisrael. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. The Gemara raises the following objection. Vasnan, we learned in a Mishnah, lo don velo donin oso, lo meid velo meidin oso. You're telling me that when does the Kohen Gadol give testimony? Who's on trial? The Melech. Well, I have news for you, buddy. The Melech is not on trial, because the Mishnah says the Melech is never on trial. So your whole kibdur of Yosef is off kilter. It can't be. Elo Omer Rav Zera. Rav Zera tries to salvage the answer of Rav Yosef. Meid leben Melech. It's not the king who's on trial, it's the prince who's on trial. Now, that's not a priest covered for the Kohen Gadol to testify in a case where the prince is on trial. Let's say, for example, they accuse the prince of a very serious crime, and this Kohen Gadol happens to have eidus that would acquit the Ben Melech. So he's really doing a great favor for the, not only for the Ben Melech, but for the king himself. So in such a case, he should overcome his inhibition about the covered Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara asks, Ben Melech Hejo to? You know, with all due respect to the prince, but halachically, the prince, Alpidin, has no special status whatsoever. You know, the Melech is the Melech, and you could argue that the Kohen Gadol, insofar as he's testifying on behalf of the Melech, he has to overcome his inhibition and his disgrace, so to speak. Why? Because the Melech is on trial. But the Ben Melech, what status does the Ben Melech have in Allah? We have there are absolutely no halachas with regard to a Ben Melech. The Gemara couches that in the terms Ben Melech hejo to me. He has the same status as any other person. Ella says the Gemara, let's refurbish Rav Yosef's answer. It's not that he's testifying La Melech on behalf of the king who's on trial, because the king is never on trial, but Meid Bifnei HaMelech. Now, what does this mean? Bifnei HaMelech. Now, if Bifnei HaMelech means that the Melech is sitting as a judge on the court, then we got a serious problem here, because let's go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says about Melech, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, it says HaMelech lo don, that a Melech does not judge. So how can the Gemara be saying that the Kohen Gadol is going to testify in a case where the Melech is one of the judges? The Melech, in fact, cannot be a judge. So we have to reinterpret this Gemara, and we have to somehow figure out what exactly is the Melech doing here. Is he sitting as a judge? That seems to be very paradoxical, because the Mishnah says, Ein Odan. So the Gemara says, Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin. The Melech is not a member of the court. So how is it possible that this Kohen Gadol is testifying in front of the Melech, who is sitting on the high court, when the Brisa says that Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin, the Melech will not sit as a judge in the Sanhedrin? So in other words, the Gemara is saying, I identify with Rav Yosef's answer. It's not considered priests are covered for the Kohen Gadol to testify in a case where one of the judges on the bench is the king himself. That upgrades the status of this court case, and the Kohen Gadol would not be lowering his dignity by testifying in front of such a chash of a court that has the king sitting on the court itself. So the Gemara says, "Well, wait a minute, the king cannot sit on the court. So what are you talking about?" Now it's a little bit odd that the Gemara has to quote this price of Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin when the Mishnah itself says HaMelech Eino Don. That means he can't be a judge. And maybe the Gemara is implying that you might think mistakenly that he's not a judge on a lower court, but if he's appointed to judge on the higher court, that is not a Pchisa covered in the Melech. So he quotes this Brisa, which says Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin, period, as an absolute rule. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. It's very odd that the Gemara should have to quote a Brisa when it's explicit in the Mishnah.
But Rashi seems to suggest that he does sit on the Sanhedrin.
That he does what?
Judge. But Bifnei HaMelech.
Right, and that's what the Gemara thought right. In the Havamina. Elameid bifnei amelech, which means not that the king is on trial, but that he's sitting on the bench. He's one of the judges. And that's when the Mishnah tells the Kohen Gadol that he's obligated to give Avis because it's not a Pesach Kovet in the Kohen Gadol if the melech is sitting on this judgment. The Gemara says, nein, v'ayin moshiva melech b'sanhedrin. You can't, it's a very nice Havamina, and you made a good argument, but it cannot be true. Because the Melech is Eino Don. And he doesn't sit on the Sanhedrin. The Melech is not a member of the Sanhedrin. Now I asked you, why does Gemara have to quote this Tosefta? Why didn't the Gemara just quote the Mishnah? The Mishnah says Eino Don, which means that the Melech doesn't judge. So I want to quote to you the Ran. The Ran says that in the Mishnah it says Eino Dan Yechidi. The Tosefta says Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin Klal. What does this mean? The Ran says that if we only had our Mishnah, all we would know is that the Melech could not serve as a, what word should I use? A single-handed bezdin, meaning, that's not a good phrase, but he cannot be the sole member of the bezdin, yechidi. And you'll see this also hinted at in Tosfos.
So what was Shlomo Melech
then? I don't know. Just give me a minute. I just want to make sure I got the math here. But v'yesh lomar Tosfos d'rimasa v'ha d'ha d'ein melech don. In other words, he cannot be a judge to others if he's doing the judgment on his own. So I think this touches on the sugi that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta called Yachid Mumche. Do you remember that? There are certain situations in which one judge could suffice. So under those circumstances, the Melech is excluded, he's disqualified. And why is that? Delo karina be his kosher shuv kosher shuv. I mean, if he can't be judged, then he can't judge others. Aval im acherim, if he's sitting in judgment with others, matzi don. He could be one of the judges. Why? Di ena din nigmar al piv levad, which means that since he's sitting together with other judges, then he's not delivering the verdict alone, and therefore, just one second, let me just, we never really, if he's alone on a court, then we say that he's possible. But if he's together with other dayanim, so then it's not his own personal verdict. He's only part of a greater whole. And therefore, he could judge. I'm not exactly sure why this is a mitigating factor. He says, Avalim Acherim, Shapir Motzi Don, the Ein Adig Nigmar Al Piv Levad. I don't know, you can underline those words. Ein Adig Nigmar Al Piv Levad.
Why should he be overruled? Because he's not alone.
Right. So why would that make any difference? I mean, it's again, he's still sitting on the court. Now I'm not sure, but I think this is all a hava. I mean, let's just see. Tamar lifok mimas nisin. Yeshlomar dohod de ein melech don. Ah, he's not saying this is the hava mina. Seems like he's saying this as a maskana. That if the so what does Gemara ask? For ein moshimin melech b'sanhedrin. He's not judging Levi. He's judging with the other 70 judges. Yeshlomar dohod de ein melech don. Hani mili levado. Avol imachirim shapir motzi don. If others he can be done. So what does it mean here in the Brice? It says Emo Shivin Melech Bisanhedrin. Again, Alamish is talking about Eno Dan Yechidi. But the Tosefta is talking about Ein Moshiv Melech B'Sanhedrin Klal O Gamla Dunim Acherim. So my impression here, and I hope I'm not misleading you, is that this logic of Tosis is only in the Hava Mina. Notice if we didn't have the Brisa of Ein Moshiv Melech B'Sanhedrin, we would have argued that since he's together with others and it's not his personal decision, the Melech can sit on the Sanhedrin. He can be done with others. But now that we have the Brisa that says Ein Moshiv Melech B'Sanhedrin, it means the Melech is excluded from Din, even in a case where he's sitting with others. So he has a beer here. He says, Hello, HaMelech Yoshev Sham, Vidomen. In other words, if there are other judges, then maybe he doesn't take part in the deliberations. He can sort of sit on the sidelines. Will be ofen zeh she'eno what? She'eno done out loud. I mean, he's only domen. Is lo shamanu. If we only had the Mishnah, we would not know. So again, the Mishnah is saying that what? That even if he's judging with others, that if we only had the Mishnah, we would say that if in event he's judging with others, that's okay. And why? Because he could be Yosef Domem. Just one second. Is that what he said? Yosef Domem? Oh, yeah. Halo HaMelech Yosef Domem. Ubeofen zelo shamanu mea mishnah she'eno yoshev b'sanhedrin. So the Mishnah itself would not give me this following rule that he can't sit with other judges, because maybe in the case of any other judges he doesn't have to say anything. I guess what's going on here is if once the Melech expresses his view out loud, then the other members of the court will be very inhibited because they're not allowed to contradict the Melech. So we're going to undermine the whole system of judgment. But in a case where he could be domeim, Yosef domeim, that would be okay. There's nothing to disqualify him per se as a judge per se. It's only the problem is how it's going to impact on the deliberations. But if there are no deliberations, then Eochinami the Melech could judge. And if that be the case, the Melech could judge, then the Gemara is no kasha. Why? Because once again, we go with Rav Yosef that the Kohen Gadol could testify in front of the Melech. Why? Because once the Melech is sitting on the bench, it upgrades the whole status of the Beis Din in such a way that it's not a Pris HaKavod for the Kohen Gadol to testify in front of such a Beis Din. So the Gemara rejects it, and the Gemara says, Nein, we have a Braisa that says, Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin, which means under all circumstances a king is excluded from wearing the hat of a judge. He cannot, we'll call it the sheitel of a judge, right? He can't play the role as a judge, even if there are others who can do the deliberations kedasu kedin without his interference. Again, just give me one more minute so I make sure I have the picture. So again, what are we saying here, according to Tosfos? That the halamina of the Gemara is that Rabbi Yosef is telling us that a Kohen Gadol can testify in front of a Melech who's sitting in judgment, and he's a member of the court. The Mishnah says, ain't done him, right, that he cannot possibly be a judge. The Melech is not done. The answer is, I would have said, if not for the Brisa that the Gemara is going to quote, that he can't judge by himself, but if he's part of a Beis Din, that's not a Pchis HaKovid for the Melech. The other people in the court will not be able to open their mouth and disagree with the Melech. The answer is, he won't say his opinion. That's what I got so far. So at this point, we're still up in the air. Why? Because we still don't know in what circumstances the Mishnah require a Kohen Gadol to testify. So the Gemara answers, Mishum Yakara de Kohen Gadol Asa V'yasev Mekable Niale Lasadusa. It means the following. The Melech will not sit on the bench. He will not serve in the capacity of a judge, but he can be an auxiliary member of the court. In other words, he can come from his, get off his high throne, and he can come to the Lishkas HaGozis in the Sanhedrin, and he'll sit there, and that itself, his presence, somehow enhances the Dinu Dvarim, the entire process of judgment. And in such a case, Rabbi Yosef holds, that's what the Mishnah means by saying, Mayit, that the Kohen Gadol will be Mayit. Kaihu, so the Melech will stand up, the Ozil, and he'll pack out. Uma'ainale anan bidine. So the Dayanim will now analyze the case itself and go through all the final deliberations. But in the initial stage, the Melech shows up, so to speak, like in a supervisory capacity, and in that case, it's already dignified for the Kohen Gadol to testify in that case because of the presence of the king. The presence of the king, even without being an active member of the court, is enough to mitigate the below his dignity of the Kohen Gadol. That's the sugya. Asha, you wanted to ask something before, and I'm sorry, I just wanted to work, see if I can figure out the shot in the Gemara.
No, I was trying to understand. It was Shlomo Melch, wasn't he?
You said something about Shlomo Melch.
So was he allowed to be done?
In front of a Beis Din?
No, was he done?
Or part of a Beis Din?
No, we were saying that the Melch, was he done as a Melech, or has he done it just as a...
So again, we said about a Melech that he can neither be judge, nor can he judge others.
Right.
So what, if Shlomo was judging others, you're saying?
No.
You're talking about what?
Yeah, wasn't it?
Maybe it was just a psak. I don't know if it was a judgment with the court. You're talking about the case with the baby, that kind of thing?
Yeah, but there were other cases. No, didn't he bring other cases that...
I don't remember. So see if you can find those cases. All right, then, Rabosai.
So what does Rashi mean when he says done? Yosef
Vidan. Yosef Vidan is in the Havamina. If we only had our Mishnah, we would say that if he's sitting together with other judges, then that's okay. Uh-huh. That's not a problem because then he could sit there quietly.
Right.
But the Gemara rejects that because of the Brisa that says Ein Moshivim Melech b'Sanhedrin, which means klal, that he cannot sit and judge at all. But the Gemara's final answer is that although he cannot judge as one of the members of the court, he can show up, and by showing up, he enhances the Beis Din, such that now the Kohen Gadol would not be Ein Lefi Foda for the Kohen Gadol to testify in front of that court.
You were suggesting he was like an ex officio there.
Is that what it's called? What language is that? That's Latin.
I mean.
he was hanging out.
But I don't understand the Rashi.
Again, Rashi is explaining the Hava. I mean, if we only had the Mishnah before the Gemara rejects this based on a Braisa, we would take the Mishnah in a very limited sense, and we'd say that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to judge as part of a greater court. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, then I understand very well what Rav Yosef is saying, and the Kohen Gadol could testify in a case where the Kohen Gadol is a member of the Beis Din. And that's what Rashi explains, that if we only had the Mishnah, that's the impression. But then the Gemara says, Veha. And again, the translation is Veha Nemar B'Tosefta, but we have a Braisa, and the Braisa expands the Mishnah and embellishes it. Ein Moshivin Melech B'Sanhedrin Klal. He can never sit on the Beis Din. Even if he'll say, I'll be silent, he can't play a silent role as one of the members of the Beis Din. He can't be on the court. So the Gemara answers, but you know when we'll ask the Kohen Gadol to go in and testify? If it's an upgraded court, what makes the court upgraded? The presence of the king. Again, you have to understand Be'iyun, you know. So Bleed, I don't know if we'll talk about this point, but if you have a chance, if anyone wants to join me at 10:15, we'll have a Shir Be'iyun.
Sure.
10:15 or 10:30?
I'm sorry, 10:30. I meant to say. I get confused between 10:15 and 11:15. 11:15 is when we end the Shir.
Now Wednesday, we're still going to just start at 8:30.